Start your date, the 208, Rabbi Dr. Shalom Springer.
Not Rabbi. You're on here for a Rabbi.
Good morning to you all.
Morning.
Inevitably, our subject is Hanukkah. It's almost upon us. And I think that's what the convener asked me to talk about. And our shiur this morning comes from the writings of Rabbi Yitzchok Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchok, Chelek Hanukkah, and its Mama Gimel. Now, he tells us that Masechtas Shabbos starts with the Melocha of Hoitzor. And the reason it does that is in order to differentiate it between all the Masechtas that deal with Yom Tov, because Yom Tov doesn't have the Issa of Hoitzor, and therefore to bring out the speciality of Masechtas Shabbos, he starts with one which is a melacha that is unique to that particular event. So Shabbos has Oitzor, and therefore the Masechta starts with that. The point he makes here is that each Moed, each occasion that we have in our calendar, has its own unique identity. We take out from that Yom Tov or Shabbos or event, we take out something that hopefully we carry with us. And sorry? Yes, that he could have done that too, Akasha that I've heard as well. He could have started with Bishl. But Hoitzor seems to be the more sort of type, public type. But that is a good Kasha. Anyway, he says that as a point that we want to bring out the uniqueness of a particular Yom Tov, an event. And Hanukkah has, of course, lots of uniquenesses, but it's also fundamental to our calendar. It's got something that gives our calendar a certain position. And we taka sing Moesor, and we end off with the words, Oz Egmaya Beshe Mizmaya Chanukas Hamizbeach. So we're talking about something that's going to happen, the Osid Lovoi, that we will sing again at the Yemaisa Mashiach. So Hanukkah's got something to do with the Yom Tov, of course, that we celebrate and commemorate, but also something for the future. Now, what he explains is this. You must imagine that our calendar is made up of all the Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then we got the Yom Tovim Drabanan, Hanukkah and Purim. But you should think of it as a bridge which goes right the way from Har Sinai all the way to Yemos HaMashiach, and it's got certain supports on this bridge. Those supports are the Yom Tovim. Both Yom Tovim Doraisa and the Yom Tovim Dorabonon, they stretch all the way to Mashiach. But until the Hanukkah story, which was midway into the second base of Mikdash, until the Hanukkah story, our bridge was incomplete. We didn't have a complete set of Yom Tovim to give us the right stimuli. Yeah, each Yom Tov gives us a different stimulus. We didn't have the set of Yom Tovim to bring us from where we were to Mashiach. So the completion of the bridge from here to Mashiach is with Hanukkah. It's the last Yom Tov chronologically, and therefore that completes the whole set, and now we have a complete calendar. Now we know that the second Pasuk in Bereishis gives us a remez to the four Shibudim. So Toihu, yeah, the Torah says, Toi Bavoyu, then Choshech Al Pnei Sahayim. And the Gemara says, this is very well known, that Toyahu is a reference to Bovel, where everything was in confusion, and of course their great persecution, they specialized in persecution. And then we have Boihu, which is Poros and Modai, the Purim story, and they specialize in particularly annihilation. Actually, Rabbi Dessler says that we know that the Germans are the descendants of Amalek because of the simon of trying to annihilate Klal Yisrael, which is similar to the Purim story, which so whenever you see annihilation of Klal Yisrael, you know that that is a descendant of Amalek. And then we have Choshech, says the Pasuk, and Chazal tell us that this is a reference to Golos Yovan, Shehechshicha Einehem Shel Yisrael Begezeiro Sehem. They try to make things dark for us, and as we say in Al-Anisim, Lashkicham Toirasecho, their objective was for us to forget the Torah. That's what they wanted, that the Torah should be eliminated. And then we have Tehoim, which is Golos Edoim, and it's unclear exactly what the speciality is. It seems it has elements of the others as well. But the point is that the other golosim, the three golosim in the beginning, Bovel, Parasamodai, and Yovon, they're in the past. Excuse me. Kiblo non chazal. We have a tradition, says Rav Hutna. I don't know his makor because in the Tzion HaMakoros, and he gives all references to everything, but not this particular remark. But he tells us, Kiblo non chazal, that when a golos is over, it's over. That means we don't carry anything from a golos into the next generation, and certainly we don't incorporate it and include it in Yadus, in Yiddishkeit. So in other words, we didn't take anything from Bovel, whatever their culture might have been, we didn't incorporate it into our Yiddishkeit at all, and neither from Poros and Moda, we didn't carry any bits of Persia with us, whatever their culture was. And therefore, with Yovan, we have a little bit of a question. Because if we say that we don't carry anything of a golos with us into the future, the objective of Yovan was, after all, Lashkicham Torah Secha, to make us forget the Torah. And it seems that they were very successful. Why were they successful? Well, it goes like this. That the origin of Machloikas is the fact that we can forget the Torah. If we wouldn't forget anything, if we would have the Torah in its pristine condition, so to speak, with everything clear in our minds, we would never have any machloikas. And certainly during the time of the Nevi'im, there was no machloikas. If you had a question, you went along to the Novi, and he would tell you the Pshat Impossible, he would tell you the Halacha, yeah, there would be no problem at all. It's only after the time of the Nevi'im that we have the beginnings of machloikas. And in fact, the first machloikas recorded is the machlokes between Yosef ben Yo'ezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, and it's the Gemara in Chagiga brings it, and it's about how it's certain Shechita or Smicha on Yom Tov, and so we have that machlokes, Yosef ben Yochanan, Yosef ben Yo'ezer, and that happened during the Empire of Greece. Yeah, that's in Yovan. So that's the very first machlokes. And machlokes, I remind you, is because we forget the Torah, so we have to reconstruct it. Okay, reconstructing means that two Amoroim, two Tanoim come out with a different conclusion. And that is a direct result of Lashkicham Torah Secha. So the Greeks wanted us to forget the Torah, and they Taka seem to have been successful. We forget the Torah, and that's the origin of Machlokes. So that flies in the face a little bit, contradicts our Kiblu Lon Chazal, that when a golos is finished, it's finished, because Machlokes goes on to the present day. And therefore, it appears that they seem to be at least partially successful in that. Okay, so how are we going to resolve that? The fact is that the Gemara says in Menachos, Pa'omim shebitula shel Torah, sometimes the bitul Torah, is in fact the agent of Zuhi Kayoma that causes the fact that Torah remains and exists with us and is with us sometimes. And the classical case is of Moshe Rabbeinu smashing the Luchos. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain, sees that Klal Yisrael cannot possibly accept these Luchos. The Luchos are absolutely Maaseh Elokim, yeah, they're made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now they're on a different madrega because they had committed the Chet HaEgel. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu makes a judgment and decides that these luchos are not fit for the Yidden. Spoken about it often. So he smashes the luchos. But Lemaisa, this is an enormous event for a number of reasons and on a number of levels. Because this was the Rabbeinu Shalom's project. The whole idea of making the world and having a world which existed until Har Sinai, and then the Har Sinai event, yeah, where the Yidden got the Torah for us and for the whole world. This was the Rabbeinu Shalom's project. And it manifests itself with Moshe Rabbeinu bringing down these luchos. And Moshe Rabbeinu, for whatever reason, decides that these luchos are not suitable to be given at this time, and he takes them and smashes them. So you might have thought that, whatever reason Moshe Rabbeinu had, but the Rabbeinu Shalom would be very, very upset. His project, his luchos. And instead, we see the opposite actually happens. It says, that's right. One of the last Rashi in Chumash and brings it in other places. The Rabbeinu Shalom congratulates him on doing absolutely the right thing. This is quite amazing in itself. But let me add something to it, which the Gemara brings in Eiruvin. Gemara in Eiruvin tells us that ilmole nishtabru haluchos, had the luchos not been broken, had not been smashed, lohoiso mishtakeches b'Yisrael, there would be no such thing as forgetfulness of shichach haTorah in Klal Yisrael. It wouldn't exist. In other words, we'd always have the Torah in its absolute pristine, total recall. We'd always remember what the Torah was. So in other words, with the smashing of the luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu introduced the idea of forgetfulness in Torah. Now you might have thought that's also a bad thing. So smashing the luchos, one crime. And now he's introduced forgetfulness in the Torah, that's another crime. So where do we go with this? The interesting thing is that the Ribbono Shel Olam, for all that, even for the forgetfulness of Torah that's going to come, and the Raya is the Machlokes, the fact is that the Ribbono Shel Olam congratulates him and says, Yashar Koichecho Asher Shibarto. And just as sort of comment on that after Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta, and then later on, Tana Elef Hasheva Meas Kalim Mechamurim Gezeres Shavos V'Dikduka, they've got a lot of Torah. When they were availing of Moshe Rabbeinu, they forgot a lot of halachas. 1,700 halachas they forgot. And Omer Avor, Afal Pikein, Hechziron Osniel ben Kenaz mitrech pilpuloi. Osniel ben Kenaz reconstructed everything that had been forgotten from Moshe Rabbeinu mitrech pilpuloi. In other words, from grassroots, from fundamentals, we can actually build up the Torah again from the rules that we have building up the Torah. But the Maisa, we see that during an absence of Torah or an absence of a Godel, a lot of Torah is forgotten, and although some of it can be rebuilt, the Maisa, that gives rise to Machlokes. So we reconstruct the Torah that way. Now, we know that Chazal say, and if you might think, well, Machlokes, you know, a lot of waste of time. If we just had the halachas as they are in one great big book, of course, that would surely be better. But on the other hand, we have machlokes. So you might think, well, that's really a lot of hot air because they're arguing about it, and then we've got a paskin one way or the other. But the Maisa, Chazal say something different. Chazal say that even though you might think that a lot of sort of waste of time of having machlokes in, they serve a very valuable purpose. We need machlokes. Afopi. Shehalolu matarim v'halolu matamim. Even though you've got this group of Tanoim saying Tohoya, that group of Tanoim saying Tomei, Lemaisa, and these say Poitrim, and those say Mechaibin, all of the cases, Machshirim, Poislim, Elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim. What these say, and what those say, the Matarim, and the Matamim, Elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim, what does that mean? That it's all Torah, it's all valid Torah. If it's been derived in the right way, with the right parameters, the 13 principles of Rabbi Shmuel, Lemaisa, and other ways. There are more than 13. But Lemaisa, with the Gezer Shovah, Tzet Kal V'Chomer, with the correct way that our Chachomim have received, the Masorah that we have, if it's done the right way, then the result is always valid Torah. Even though we've got to go through a process of psak, so the Mishnah Berurah has to paskin either Rabbi Akiva or a Vilna Gaon or whatever. He's got to make a decision. In each generation, you make a decision about what went on in the past. The Amoraim have to decide which Tana they're going to follow. The Rishonim have to make a decision as to which of the Amoraim they're going to follow. That's a process of halacha. That's a process of, in practical terms, of what we actually do. And that, of course, is an essential part of Yiddishkeit, the way it works, although we have so many shittas, hundreds of them, thousands of them floating about, it is the duty of the next generation to decide, the Moshe Feinsteins of this world, of who we follow. So that's a process. But Lemaisa, the Torah that Hillel was saying, and the Torah that Shammai was saying, even though we paskin like Hillel, the Torah of Shammai is very, very valuable. And even therefore the psak, even though the halacha that we reject, that is also as valid as the halacha that we accept. I remember my early days in yeshiva, of the certain sugya, where the whole sugya was about the shitta of Beis Shammai. And at the time I had this kasha, why are we spending such a lot of time on Beis Shammai when everybody knows we pass like Beis Hillel? It was obviously a rubbish question. Beis Shammai's shitta is as valuable as Beis Hillel's. We need it because it gives us the toichen of the Torah. So paradoxically, our knowledge is enhanced more by dispute, honest dispute, than it is by agreement. Yeah, when we agree with something very, very quickly, but dispute brings out the minutiae of Torah and the details which are so valuable. And we know the story, of course, of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and the Gemara tells the story about in Bom Metzia, Kinach Nafshei to Rav Shimon ben Lakish, when Reish Lakish died, and of course Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish were great chaverim, very, very close together. They have a Kamitzar of Yochanan Basrei Tuva. Rav Yochanan was terribly upset. Nowadays we really call it a deep, deep depression. A deep depression at the demise of Reish Lakish. Omra Bonon, man lezel lezev ledata. What are we going to do to try and calm Rav Yochanan's nerves down? Anyway, along went Rabbi Elozer ben Pados, a very brave man. Rabbi Elozer ben Pados was mischabel with Rav Yochanan, sat down with him as a chavrusa, mahadim shmatza, ozel Yosef kamei. So he sat in front of Rav Yochanan, the godel be Yisrael at the time, Rav Yochanan, of course. And Kol Milsa to have a Omer of Yochanan, everything Rav Yochanan said, Omele, Tana de Misaele, I've got a raya for you, Rav Yochanan. Right, and this went on. Rav Yochanan said halacha, and Rav Elozer ben Pados would bring him a raya. Omele, Kvala Kisha le ben Lakisha, you know, this is I'm missing Reish Lakish terribly. Why? Ki have a Amina Milsa, have a Makshili Esrim ve'arba Kushi Aisim Afrikna. Every single time I said something, he would bring 24 questions, 24 riots from elsewhere, and I'd have to answer them. And this brought out the Torah. And so we see from here, right, absolutely clearly, that it is the dispute, the Milchamta Shel Torah, that really is what gives Torah its stimulus. And therefore, the opinion of the minority, or the opinion that we reject, is as valuable. And of course, for our great people of Psak, where do you think they go when they... A kasha comes on the table, a shaila comes on the table. All the rabbonim have tried their hand at it, and in the end it lands up on, I take him as a dogma, on the desk of Moshe Feinstein. Zatzal. Yeah? What does he do? It's not in the Shulchan Aruch, because if it was in the Shulchan Aruch, everybody would know it. Yeah, he has to go back into the sugya and work out the thinking process. What were the chachomim thinking when they discussed it in the Gemara? So therefore we have to examine and analyze the shitta of the opposer, the person that we don't paskin like, just as much as the shitta of the person we do paskin like. So that you get to the bottom and underneath halacha and the thinking process, this is extremely valuable. So it's a creative force. The Milchamta Shel Torah is the creative force. And therefore, it's the means by which Chiddush is born. That's the way you get a Chiddush. And in fact, the Gemara says, on the Pasuk in Chukas, that Al Kain Yoim Ruba Sefer Melchamas Hashem. And Al Kain Yoim Melchamas about the wars. And then the Apostle goes on and mentions some names of places. Ace, Vohev, Besufo. They're names of places, seemingly. And the Gemara Darshans, those names of places, they're not names of places. It says, it talks about two people, even Ava Benoi, that sit together and they learn Torah. And they get into a tremendous fight. Ad shenasim soinim zeh lo zeh. They glare at each other, sort of with full enmity, so to speak. And they're really on opposite sides of the fence. They're having a real row, a real milchamta shel Torah, having a row, and they're actually disputing the issue, whatever it might be. Veloy zozim mishom, they do not leave the Beis HaMedrash until they've resolved it. Ad shenasim. So with Darshan, these words, vohe vosufo, in the end they become oyevim zelozer. Now the point is, and Rav Huttner makes this point, and other people make this point, it's not a case of two people having an argument and becoming soinim zelozer. They're really, you know, on opposite sides of the fence. And despite that, they work out their differences, and okay, and everything becomes calm later on, and become friends to each other. It's not that. It's despite, not only despite, it's also because of. It's because they were in such a, locked in this dispute, that as a result of their resolution, and in other words, we were talking about people who are searching for the emes, when Reish Lakish asked his question to Rav Yochanan, it wasn't a question of Rav Yochanan winning the argument, they never wanted to win. Never. They wanted to find the emes. This is the point. They were mavakshim. Finding the emes was their quest. They weren't interested in winning in the slightest. So these two people, as the Gemara describes, having this whopping machlokes in the Torah, some pshat in the Torah, nasim oyevim zeh lozeh, not in spite of, but because of. And that's the important thing. The greatest love is actually manifested with two people that had a difference, and then they can make up later on, and they become shutfin in a creative process. That's the most wonderful result, that we've actually been mechadish something together by the fact that we took opposite sides. And that's the power of the Milchamto Shel Torah. So, let's come back to our original question. Our question was that when a golus is over, then it's over. But seemingly, the golus of Yovan is still with us, because as we know, you know, two rabbis, three opinions, we've still got machlokas with us. So if we've got machlokas with us, then the quest, the objective of Yovan is still being realized in the fact that we have Shikhas HaTorah, which is what they were after. That was their objective. So we've still got it with us. But we recall that Chazal that I quoted before, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who introduced Shikhas HaTorah. By smashing the Luchos, he introduced in the world the concept of Shikhas HaTorah. And the fact that Rabban Shimon congratulated means that Rabban Shimon must have known something that we didn't know, but we do know now. Because what's actually happened is that Machlokes HaTorah has been the best piece of equipment that we've been given in order to survive the Golos. Just imagine for a moment that we had a giant book on the shelf, yeah, with every single halacha kapasitin, everything. Torah would have been long forgotten. Would have been long forgotten, because we'd have this book with all the answers, and it would have just been an encyclopedia, and it would have all been done by rote. There'd be no excitement at all about Torah. What has given the excitement of Torah, what has enabled us to survive Golos for 2,000 years, is Milchamto Shel Torah. Is the fact that we have this machlokes, and it adds and creates the dynamism of Torah, and v'yagdil Torah v'yadiz, the Gemara says. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's introduction of Bitula Shel Torah, that was the cause of its kiyum. It's not the Greeks. As far as the Greeks are concerned, the idea was that Klal Yisrael should forget the Torah. But their quest, their particular objective, had unintended consequences. They never thought that what they were trying to do would be the stimulus of Klal Yisrael recreating Torah and keeping Torah alive. So to speak, we snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, in that we have Milchamto Shel Torah. So the downfall of Yovan is identical with Modai and Bovel, all the other Golosim. We've forgotten Yovan completely. The forgetting of the Torah that we have is the one that leads to maximum Kedusha and ensures that Torah remains vibrant and alive. I mean, how many of us know anything about the Magna Carta? Yeah, perhaps people are looking at me oddly and don't even know what the Magna Carta is. Yeah, that's the constitution as much as we have it in this country. Nobody knows anything about it at all. Yeah, there it is in a glass case in some museum, and that's it. But our Torah is a very much alive and very, very vibrant. And since Chanukah was, so to speak, invented by the Chachamim, introduced by the Chachamim to bring the light from the darkness, the light of the menorah is a symbol of the complete rejection of the Greeks. We had absorbed quite a lot, and I heard just recently that 90% of Klal Yisrael at the time, I didn't realize such a figure, 90% of Klal Yisrael at the time were Hellenized, yeah? Got drawn in to the empire of Greece and their intellectual processes, etc., which is another subject about, you know, the actual enmity between Klal Yisrael and them. But 90% of our people had decamped, had betrayed us. So in other words, Chanukah supplies a symbol, gives us a symbol of the fact that we have got rid of Greece and we've got rid of their type of Shikhas HaTorah, which would have led to our destruction. And that's why we understand that Chanukah now represents, as we started off, the last staging post until Mashiach. Because with Chanukah and the Milchamto Shel Torah, the first Machlokes was in the time of the Greek Empire. That's where the Machlokes started and has continued all the way. That will bring us from here to Mashiach. That's the last shlav, the last pillar of our bridge that leads from here to Mashiach. So in other words, we can do it for as long as it takes. I'd like in the last few minutes to bring you an example of what we've been talking about, of, you know, an explanation. And the Milchamto Shel Torah, the dispute of two Tanoim where it tells us about both parts of it, give us some sort of idea and some sort of a contribution to our Hashkofa. And that is tucked in the subject of Chanukah, which is the machlokes that we all know about between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, about which way do you light the menorah, right? We're either going upwards or downwards. Now, let me just remind you that in fact they're not arguing about the Etzem mitzvah. They're not arguing about the mitzvah of lighting a menorah on Chanukah, which is, as the Gemara says, ne'er ishu beisai. You know, one light per household per night. That's it. Then the Gemara goes on to tell us there are ways of doing it which are an enhanced, yeah, a sort of quality mitzvah. So there's one for Mahadrin, yeah, where all the males light, and then there's Mahadrin mina Mahadrin. Yeah, if you really want to do it in the best neufen, the best possible way, there's Mahadrin and Mahadrin. That's where the dispute of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is. It's not in the Etzem mitzvah of Ner Chanukah at all. It's about the extras. And here we have a dispute and a very interesting way of looking at it according to Rav Dessler. He sees it in the following terms, which is why I want to use it to demonstrate this idea of Milchamta Shel Torah, that the other side also teaches us something. And of course, we pass the night Beis Hillel. We pass the night Beis Hillel, one on the first night, two on the second night, and so on. Now, there is a principle of the Chinuch. It permeates and it threads its way right the way through the Sefer Chinuch. 69 doesn't say it 630 times, but many, many times the Chinuch tells us a certain principle of how Yiddishkeit works. Yiddishkeit works on the following basis according to the Chinuch. We all know that thoughts and feelings influence our actions. If a person's angry, you'll see it. Yeah, he shouts or he sulks or whatever. Yeah, your thoughts and feelings influence what you do. The Chiddush of the Chinuch is that it works the other way around as well. That your actions influence your thoughts and feelings. That's how Yiddishkeit works. All that we do is basically a demonstration of that. So one's very happy, maybe in the middle of August, got good exam results or whatever it might be, and the Tisha B'Av arrives. So what do? You know, despite our joy about some good news, we go into the Beis Medrash and we listen to Eicha and we say Kinnas. So come and tell us, if you do actions which a sad person would do, that'll make you feel sad. Purim, the opposite way around, maybe if there's some little unfortunate news, do the things that they tell you to do in Purim, drink some wine, put on a funny hat, dance around, and you will feel happy. So in other words, actions, nasa, yeah, in fact, influences us in such a way that we will feel the right things. Every Shabbos is a marvelous example of that. Our Chachomim, not the Torah, the Chachomim tell us how we celebrate Shabbos with a tablecloth and candles, and all that we do is to create an environment so that we feel the Kedusha Shabbos. That's how Yiddishkeit works. That's what the Chinuch explains many, many times. Okay, each time he says it, he does it for a reason. He's explaining a particular mitzvah. And so that's the Chinuch. And that's, in fact, the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai hold that we light eight lights on the first night. Remember that we're talking about not the Etzer mitzvah of Chanukah, but the Mahadim and the Mahadim, the extra part. Beis Shammai holds that a person should understand, and this is very, very common among most of Klal Yisrael, that as a Yom Tov progresses, we're very excited on the first day, not quite so excited on the second day, and the third day is, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, so to speak. Our excitement diminishes as the Yom Tov progresses. That's human, yeah, except for Yechidim. The Yechidim Tzadikim, and he talks about his own Rebbe, for example, how his face shone. You know, as each day of Yom Tov, whichever Yom Tov it was, went by, his face shone more and more, because with Yechidim, it's internal, it's Pnim. And something that's Pnim, yeah, one accumulates the spirituality. For us, for most Klal Yisrael, and Chanukah was instituted for most of Klal Yisrael, for us it's Chutz. We do the mitzvahs, true, but it's not internalized. And something that's not internalized diminishes. So Beis Shammai hold that if you're doing the extras, that's very nice, but do it in accordance with your true madrega, where you are. And the truth is that our enthusiasm diminishes. And if it diminishes, we should reflect our chumras in the way that we are. Don't do more than your actual level. So Beis Shammai say, light eight on the way, you're very excited, 8 days, eight lights on the first night, you're completely excited. The second day, you're not quite so excited, so do seven, and so on. So it reflects your true madrega. Beis Hillel say, no, the way we practice Yiddishkeit is aspirational. We aspire. like the Chinuch explained. The actions that you do will inspire you. And therefore what you should do is one on the first night, two on the second night, because with that increasing number of lights, we hope to increase our madriga. At least we can learn something. This is what we aspire to. This is what we want to be. And therefore we have a machlokes, both sides giving us the shita of the way we should think about Chanukah. So making the point that not only the shita that we go by according to the halacha, but also the one that we reject, our inverted commas, reject the ones we believe maybe till Yemaisa Mashiach, because I think there are opinions that hold that that's what we will do, according to Beis Shammai, according to Yemaisa Mashiach. How that works, I am not sure yet, but the fact is that we need both of the shittas, and they're both Milchamta Shel Toyo, and that has kept us going from then, from Harsinai and before, until we have to sing again, and be able to celebrate in a practical way Oz Egmoye Bashir Mizmoye Chanukas Hamizbeach. A guten Chanukah, everybody.